Parsha Shlach provides one of the most baffling moments in human history. You'd want to ask the Meraglim and interview them and just say, what were you thinking? Put yourself into their shoes. And we live in such a dark world in which for thousands of years Hashem's presence was difficult to discern. And even in our own world in which we feel the Yad Hashem so palpably, it isn't cause and effect, it isn't direct in the way that we imagine Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we imagine, just driving late at night, so I apologize if the sound is a little off, we imagine Kriyas Yamsuf, we imagine Mamet Har Sinai, the man on a daily basis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers you the land that he promised to your grandparents that you've been waiting hundreds of years to enter. And all of a sudden, there's some inhabitants, and everyone gets all frightened and panicky. So, there's a lot of scouring through the Meraglim's conversation amongst themselves, and their reports back. What other moral flaws did the Meraglim possess that contributed to this whole breakdown, to this complete historical dysfunction and moral degradation? So a very famous pasuk describes how intimidated the Meraglim felt by these giants, Yelidei Hanak, perhaps the giants residing in the Chevron area. I'm driving through right now, the Gush Etzion area. Vanihi beineinu kechagavim. When we compared our height to their height, we were like grasshoppers. That's how small we were. Or how small they felt psychologically. And that in itself is a very damning or condemning statement, but it's the conclusion of that pasuk that punctuates it. That's almost a poetic inversion or palindrome, and that attracts a lot of conversation and interpretation. Vanihi beineinu kechagavim, the first part of that phrase, we viewed ourselves the size of midgets, v'chein hayinu beinehem, and they saw us that way. So, the obvious question is, did anyone ask these giants how they regarded these spies? Or presumably, they didn't even see the spies. So, this is what we would call, in modern psychology, classic projection, where you project, first of all, what people are thinking about you, and they're probably not even thinking about you to begin with, but you also project your own thoughts about them or about yourself into these people's minds. So, presumably, factually, these giants didn't notice the spies who were very covert and approaching silently in a clandestine fashion. And even if they did, they probably went all their merry way, busy with whatever they were involved in. But these Meraglim felt so dwarfed that they just assumed and they projected their own feelings of inadequacies onto their surroundings. And that's probably the most accepted, common, modern interpretation. Perhaps not just projection, but I think that people sometimes brim or radiate with confidence. And vice versa, people sometimes radiate fear. You can smell fear a mile away. So, assuming for a moment that the giants and these tall, gargantuan human beings actually notice the spies, well, when you see people walking with confidence, walking with pride, acting as if they belong, then you respond to them in a certain way. When you see people skunking around, terrified, afraid of their own shadow, well, you can tell their fear. So maybe they did actually see them and view them as midgets and grasshoppers. It wasn't just the spies projecting their own inadequacies, but they were certainly projecting fear. And maybe these grasshoppers would have been seen a little bit differently had they been confident grasshoppers. So these are, I think, the more common modern interpretations. But in his classic psychologically penetrating style and modern style, the Kotzk has a very very sharp, very penetrating interpretation of how this view of their view of them is reflective of moral decay or moral cowardice. I'm going to give a little background. Every Musar school had the trait that it saw as the core of moral fitness, of religious piety. Is that one particular trait that served as the central pivot that had to be stressed and developed and conditioned. And in many Musar schools, particularly Nifarduk, it was disregard for public opinion. Once you care too deeply about public opinion and public approval and being mocked and scorned and what people will say and how you'll be viewed, then it's hard to lead a life of principle. Then you're just playing to the crowd, caving to their perspectives and opinions of you. And in general, it's true of the Nevardic Musar school. Kalev is seen as the great rebel of Jewish history, someone who channeled that inner defiance that so many people sense, especially when they're younger, this adolescent rage and rebelliousness. And he said, well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu places it in your heart, then there's a time and a place to rebel against your reality. And Kalev rebels against the public opinion of all the other 10 consensus leaders. The Katz says that's exactly what's happening with the Meraglim. It's one thing to feel inadequate, to be afraid, frightened, to see yourself as small and unable. But why would you care how they view you? It's even deeper than projecting fear. And it's even deeper than projecting your own opinion to others. It's live within yourself. And once they start worrying about how they're being viewed, that's already a reflection of a deeper crisis of identity, crisis of self-esteem, crisis of whom they are and what their national and historical calling is. It's a very, very deep and penetrating katzka. It's not that they projected this minuscule or diminutive image about themselves to others. It's that they even cared about, as far as the Kusker is concerned, if the end of the pasuk were to describe and say, well, we felt like grasshoppers, but these giants didn't see us that way, that would still be incriminating. Because why are you even worrying? Why are you even obsessing about their view of you? So it's an interesting Kusker, about Parsha Shlach and the search for that underlying flaw that led to such a confusing and baffling unraveling of Jewish history.